This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Romans chapter 3, reading verse 23, and then 10 through 18. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we approach thy throne of grace through the shed blood and righteousness of Christ, we thank thee that thou hast left us the truth upon the pages of Holy Writ of the awful condition of man, that we've all sinned and come short of thy glory. But, O Lord, thou hast also told us that now there is a righteousness without the law, which has been given by Jesus Christ our Lord in him. And we therefore praise thee for thy so great salvation which thou hast given in Christ. And we desire that this salvation will be granted to precious souls even today, and thou wilt grant repentance and faith. Souls will be able and enabled by thy Spirit to turn toward thee, to look to thee, to trust thee. Oh, that thou would have mercy upon each and every soul listening. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell a story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to
to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it sings the glory,
say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We praise the Lord for each one of you radio listeners, and we are praying daily that God will use His Word in each one of our hearts day by day. Oh, that these messages that God has given will go home to our hearts in these days in which we're living. And our living God will give us revival, awakening. Our hearts will be broken at His feet. We need new hearts. We need new natures. We need for Christ to be revealed to the hearts of men. We need for the power of sin to be broken, repentance to be granted, faith to be granted, and for men to turn from their wicked ways unto the living God, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in God will work effectually in each and every heart. Have you written for your free book that we're giving away this month, entitled Kept for the Master's Use? In this book, Frances Abigail used the words of her own hymn, one of the world's favorites, as the basis of each chapter. Frances Abigail was a poet, a hymn writer. In that hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, she wrote a book upon it. And this book is yours free and postpaid if you will write us. 13 chapters, 128 pages. We'd like to put this book in your hand free of charge. Will you write us and ask for it by name? It's entitled Kept for the Master's Use. And our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. This will be the third message in this continued series that we're on now, entitled The Crimes of Our Times, or the Sins That Have Brought Our Great Nation to the Brink of Eternal Damnation and Judgment. In our last two messages, we've brought before your hearts God's holy and righteous commandments, dealing with the sixth and seventh commandments, which read, Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. We desire to go into that seventh commandment again today, showing from God's Word that this commandment covers all acts of sexual activity outside of the marriage bed, and especially the sin of sodomy, which has swept our nation like wildfire, both among the men and the women, young and old alike. Will you listen? We are warned in Luke 17 that as judgment fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin was very grievous against God, and that what cried unto Him because of its greatness, so judgment will fall upon America today because this same sin of sodomy is so blatantly practiced, and it also cries unto God because of its greatness against the holiness of God. This sin of sodomy, that is, homosexuality and lesbianism, has come out into the open. And these wicked men and women are asking to be dealt with as if their practices are quite the normal thing. We're asked to believe and sanction that which God in His holy word has called an abomination in his sight. We are asked to give them the right to practice and promote their immoral acts because they enjoy what they're doing, and they say it is only the natural way to act, even though God in His Word has marked them for judgment. My dear friend, we might as well put our stamp of approval upon every murderer, because it must be right to kill if they enjoy it. We might as well put our stamp of approval upon every act of incest and rape, because the guilty enjoy doing it. We might as well put our stamp of approval upon every thief, because he enjoys stealing. We might as well put our stamp of approval upon every disobedient child, because he enjoys disobeying his parents and doing his own thing. Oh, no, my friend. We cannot put our stamp of approval upon that which God hates. We must lift our voices against every sin that defies God, whether it be open or behind closed doors, for they are both seen by a holy and righteous God. All right, to the law and to the testimony. What does God's Word say about this subject of sodomy, homosexuality, and lesbianism? My friend, it is not what you and I think about it. It is not what some news reporter thinks about it. It's not what the television talk shows say about it. It is not what some teachers or preachers or church leaders or psychiatrists say about it, or even the very poor souls who are caught in this sin. It is not what they say about it. But what does God's Word say about it? And that's what I want on every issue and every subject. Well, let us turn to the Word of God then, and let us read God's mind upon the matter. And when we have done that, to me, the thing is settled. Listen to Deuteronomy 23:17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Listen to me now. The Hebrew will bear out that the word whore used here can be translated sodomitist or lesbian, for the word is the feminine of sodomy. We can read it then as follows. There shall be no lesbian of the daughters of Israel, nor a homosexual of the sons of Israel. You see, this does not leave us any doubt as to what God's Word says about it, and His attitude toward the practice has not changed, because He has not changed. He condemned it then, and He condemns it today. It is still a sin, and hated by the holy and the righteous God. Also, if you would look at the 18th verse of Deuteronomy 23, you would notice very strong language that is used here by our God. He said, "Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination to the Lord thy God." Here again, the Hebrew will bear out that the word whore can be translated sodomitist or lesbian. And to show God's utter contempt for this awful sin of sodomy, God calls a homosexual or a sodomist a dog. Dear friend, this makes me shudder to think of the awfulness of this sin in the sight of God, and what contempt He holds this sin in His sight. And yet the lesbians and homosexuals of our day flaunt this sin in the face of God, trying to force their damnable way of life upon our society and make us accept this awful sin as something glamorous. Listen again to God's Word. We read in Leviticus 18:22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Or it could read, "Homosexuality is absolutely forbidden, for it is an enormous sin. Man shall not lie with man as he does with woman." And dear friend, this commandment is still in effect today, for God has not changed. Now listen to Leviticus 20:13, and hear God's judgment upon this sin in the days of Moses. And as God has not changed His attitude toward it is still the same, and it shall be punished in the day of judgment. My dear friend, unless it is confessed, repented of, and washed in the blood of Christ. Listen to God's word. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. What God's word is saying here is this. The penalty for homosexual acts is death to both parties. They have brought it upon themselves. God is very plain here, isn't he? And let me repeat. God has not changed. And this sin still bears the death penalty. Not before man's courts, but before the court of God. And remember that God is angry with the wicked every day, and if he turn not, he will whet his sword. Dear friend, this is not my word. This is God's word I'm giving you today. Saying that it is not a sin does not alter God's word. Saying that it is none of my business what you do does not alter the fact that it is sin in the sight of God. And that it breaks the seventh commandment. And will bring down the wrath of God upon you if it is not confessed, repented of, and washed in the blood of Christ. Are you listening? Now we want to go further. This sin is recognized by the millions today across our great nation. And many more are being added to the number as it is held up before our young people as something great to indulge in. But listen to me, young people. These who engage in this practice do not tell you the loneliness that such a life causes. They do not tell you that about half of the people caught in this sin are dependent upon alcohol and drugs to keep them going. They do not tell you about the fact that over half of the suicides in this country are among the homosexuals. They do not tell you that most of the cases of syphilis and gonorrhea among those practicing the sin. They do not tell you of the guilt and shame that attaches itself to those caught in this mesh of Satan. They do not tell you that once caught in the sin, there is usually no escape from it, except by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been reading articles in our daily papers upon the subject of homosexuality. And my whole being has cried out against sin, this sin that is glamorized and popularized among so many today. I cannot stay silent. I must lift my voice against it. Perchance our God will warn some soul against it and bring one soul out of it by His almighty power. That was an article in our local paper the other day. By two leading doctors who specialize in this insect. And they said that homosexuality, sodomy, is just a normal thing between two men. And what they're telling us is that when man lies with man, that it is not sin, but God's word says, and we read it to you out of His precious word. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both have committed an abomination. So I'm going to believe God's word. What about you? Now let us go to the New Testament and see what it has to say about this sin. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 we read, "Have you forgotten that the kingdom of God will never belong to the wicked?" Stop being misled. For those people who are sexually immoral, those who are guilty of adultery or of homosexual perversion, will never possess the kingdom of God. And then in 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10 we read that the law of God is against those who live unholy lives and insult holy things. It is against those murders of fathers and murders of mothers and manslayers, and immoral men, and homosexuals. It is against kidnappers, liars, and those who bear false witness. You see, the Word of God says that the law of God is against these sins, especially the sin of homosexuality and whatever else is opposed to sound Christian teaching. Oh, my friend, what a word this is, that God's law is against sin. And numbered among those sins, right along with the murderers and the kidnappers, are the men and women who are caught in the sin of homosexuality. The law of God is against you, my friend, and the soul that sinneth according to the Word of God, it must die. We see then from these two scriptures that the person caught in this sin is not saved. They do not inherit the kingdom of God. They are not Christians. They are under the wrath of God, because they are lawbreakers, not of man's law, but of God's law. Oh, you listen, I want you to get this statement. Understanding this, then, there is no room left for any church or denomination to even have to debate as to whether or not people caught in this sin should be ordained to preach or allowed to come to the communion table. Since they are not Christian, they only take the communion at the damnation of their souls, according to 1 Corinthians 11. And surely, as far as preaching is concerned, they cannot be called ministers of Christ when he flatly denounces them and tells them that as long as this sin is not confessed, repented of, turned from, and they crown Jesus as Lord of their lives, they do not belong to him. Now, this does not mean that they cannot be saved. For, dear friend, surely God's grace is sufficient to cover any sinner's sins. But it does mean that for anyone caught in this sin to be saved, they must face fairly and squarely the fact that what they are in is sin, and only by the grace of God and the power of God can they be delivered from it. The homosexual seeking help must begin here, or he does not begin at all. This sin must be confessed, laid out before God as sin. The poor soul must forsake it, turn from it, flee from it, and turn to God in Christ if ever he or she is to be delivered. But I believe I hear some poor soul crying out right now, "But Pastor, you don't know how helpless I am against this sin." And I'm honest to confess, dear friend, I'm sure I don't. But I do know how helpless I am against other sins. And the only difference between you and me in this particular sin is the grace of God. But will you listen to me? It is when you own your helplessness and cry unto God for mercy in Christ and trust him to give power to overcome this sin or any sin, can you have victory. In your helplessness, if you will turn to him, you can be helped in Christ, who died for this sin of sodomy as well as all other sins. And he can, by the power of his blood, cleanse it and give you victory over it. But yet there is one more scripture in the New Testament dealing with the sin of homosexuality, and is found in Romans 1. Beginning there at verse 18 of Romans 1, on to the end of the chapter. I don't know of any more awful chapter in the Bible than this one, for it pictures men and women who have turned the truth of God into a lie and being given up by God to their own lust and the deep depravity of their own heart. I shudder to think of souls so far gone that the Word of God says three times in these verses that God gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them over and up unto vile affections, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Listen to these verses in Romans 1, 24 through 28. So God let them go ahead into every sort of sex sin and do whatever they wanted to do. So they degrade their own bodies with one another. Even the women turned God's natural plan for them and indulged in sex sin with each other. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and have run wild with lust toward one another. Men with men practicing shameless acts and incurring in their own persons the inevitable penalty of their own perverseness. Moreover, since they considered themselves too high and mighty to acknowledge God, he allowed them to become the slaves of their degenerate minds, to do those things which were indecent. Dear friend to me, there is no language that can describe the life of a person caught in this sin as this language of God Himself found here in Romans chapter 1. It shows us the last end of those who will not acknowledge God and who call darkness light and sin virtue. Now will you listen to me as I close? Dear friend, I have delivered this message with two reactions today. First, with another hatred for this sin which has damned the lives of so many today and is fast making our great nation a Sodom and Gomorrah. Second, my heart cries out for those of you who are caught in this sin, because I know the wrath, the misery, and judgment that hangs over your poor soul. My attitude toward your sin is hatred, because God hates it. But listen now. My attitude toward you, my dear friend, is one of love and compassion. And that is the reason for delivering this message today, to call you to repentance. I bid you come to Christ. I bid you come to His blood that can wash you whiter than snow. I bid you come to Him for a new heart and a new nature, so that you will be changed into His likeness and walk in the pathway of righteousness and true holiness. I bid you to come to the only one who can have mercy upon your never-dying soul. My dear friend, today, on one hand, I've held out unto you life and love and forgiveness and power over your sin in Christ. But on the other hand, I can hold out nothing but death and wrath and eternal judgment in hell unless you repent. So my cry unto you at this moment is, flee to Christ. Flee to the blood of the Lord Jesus and the power of the grace of God that can make a new creature out of you and turn you from a child of the devil into a child of the living God and make you and wash you whiter than snow. Do you want a copy of this message? They're in print and will be sent to you free and postpaid if you will write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.